America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. If you like drama, if you like conflict, if you like verbal battle, and if you like actual battle, I guess, today is kind of a big day. Because not only are we awaiting, at any moment it could come, the verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. It's the second day of jury deliberations. But a number of people, a number of observers in the court have that feeling, that sense that a verdict may be near. What will that verdict be? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And one of the things that we guard fairly carefully in this country is a jury privacy. One of the things that's interesting is this is such a heavily publicized trial, is generally in something that is this much a public concern, where opinions are so polarized. Some people who portray Kyle Rittenhouse as some kind of a monster, as a white supremacist, as someone, in fact, months ago, before the trial began, Joe Biden referred to him as a white supremacist. And there's no real evidence that that is accurate. And then there are others who try to portray Kyle Rittenhouse as a choir boy, as a local hero, somebody who was trying to benefit his community. He's neither of those extremes, and that's what makes this whole case so complicated and fascinating. We will, of course, go to the news as soon as that news breaks. There's another decision, much less fascinating, if you will, and much less serious in terms of the consequences anyway, either way. And that's the vote on Paul Gosar, the congressman from Arizona. Very much a firebrand right winger, and he's somebody who's a very, very strong supporter of President Trump. He is facing a vote of censure on the floor of the House of Representatives today. I've got to tell you, I expressed my shock at both the reaction to the provocation and to the provocation itself. There's no justification for what Paul Gosar did. He posted a stupid anime video showing, what'd you say, Jeremy? His staff did, but it was on his website, and he could easily, especially given the fact that his staff did, it was apparently at his direction and with his approval. He's made no apology for it. It was a video that showed two things. It showed a monster with the face of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on it, and she was being killed by knives in the back of her neck. That's kind of an unpleasant thing to post about one of your colleagues. And then later it showed him, his face, on the body of a sword-wielding superhero, and his image was approaching, coming toward, threatening President Biden with two swords. And look, it's not, if you're a United States congressman and you're communicating with the public and you're already kind of a very controversial guy, he says he put that up there to try to stop the amnesty for illegal immigrants that is being discussed as part of the new budget-busting buyback better bill. And by the way, I think there's very little chance that that will be added, and that if it is added, that the whole thing will pass. Because it's a terrible idea to conflate these various issues. It's bad enough that you're spending literally more than $1 trillion more dollars in whatever shape this bill is in, but to then use some immigration policy that people have been unable to agree on a bipartisan basis, and there have been serious bipartisan attempts by people of goodwill on both sides trying to make sense of this border security issue. And for Biden to try to go around any of those discussions or deliberations and to pass something as significant as a major immigration reform involving some of the 11 or 12 million people who are here without authorization, who are undocumented, who are illegal immigrants in this country, to do something like that when most Americans aren't even aware that this is part of the decision, it's outrageous. And in fact, a longtime advocate of expanded legal immigration, someone who wrote a book about it, and a good book, Jason Riley, a very, very prominent conservative columnist, has always been a supporter of immigration reform and some form of earned legal status for people who are here illegally. But he just did a column just absolutely ripping the Biden administration for attempting to do it this way, which is just wrong. So what has happened here is today, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has scheduled a vote for today. It could be at any moment, a vote to censure Congressman Gosar and to strip him of his two committee assignments. And this is the part of the conclusion of what Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House, has said about this attempt to discipline his colleague Paul Gosar. This was earlier today, just moments ago, actually. Here's Kevin McCarthy. Listen.
Democrats want to change the rules but refuse to apply them to their own caucus. I listened to the Speaker talk about the highest standards. Madam Speaker, when a Democratic chairwoman flew to Minneapolis and told an angry crowd during a trial to stay on the streets, get more active, get more confrontational,
that's Maxine Waters.
We've got to make sure they know we mean business. That high standard, the Democrats refused to take action. The trial judge actually singled her out on her comments on an ongoing basis, which he said could become an issue on appeal. But this wasn't the first time. No. This is three times. At a rally in Los Angeles, that same chairwoman, she told a mob, if you see anyone from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them that they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. She later defended that comment in another speech in L.A., saying the same chairwoman of the high standards. I did not threaten Trump, constituents, and supporters. I do that all the time. But I didn't do it that time. This side of the aisle didn't ask that chairwoman to lose her committee. We simply asked for an apology. Meanwhile, that high standard, with Speaker Pelosi and Leader Hoyer, defended her. When asked about her Minneapolis comments, Leader Hoyer described her as passionate. She believes in her issues. She believes you should get in your faces. And Speaker Pelosi? Oh, what did she do with that high standard? She compared her comments in Minneapolis to Dr. King's civil rights movement.
Okay, there's more, and then there's a statement by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She was dramatic and passionate, as you can imagine. It was her image that was stabbed to death in the neck in that video. And then the comment by Congressman Gosar, who seems to be resigned to his fate. Most Republicans are voting no on the resolution, of course. Will all the Democrats vote yes? We will get to that and much more coming up on The Medved Show. A And on the Michael Medved show, the members of the Congress are lining up, and it's pretty much as everyone would expect. Congressman Paul Gosar, I mean, I can tell you, I've spoken to members of Congress about Paul Gosar. He is not widely respected by his colleagues. He is somebody who tends to get lots of attention for doing things that are unusual. And one of the things that Liz Cheney, who is one of only two Republicans so far who said she's going to vote to censure Paul Gosar and to strip him of his committee assignments, she said, Liz Cheney, in a moment where you've got an avowed white nationalist and Representative Gosar, who has posted a video advocating the killing of another member, the idea that our leader will not stand against that, but that he's somehow going after and allowing attacks against 13 members who are conducting themselves in a serious and substantive way is really outrageous. That 13 members thing, that includes her. That's the 13 members of the Republican caucus who provided the key votes in getting the budget-busting Build Back Better bill passed. And Adam Kinzinger, who has also with Liz Cheney on that committee regarding January 6th. Paul Gosar was one of the leading supporters of the Stop the Steal effort on January 6th. He's in February, it points out on NBC, Gosar attended a white nationalist conference hosted by America First leader Nick Fuentes, who is known for pushing racist and anti-Semitic rhetoric. Following the event, Gosar attempted to distance himself from Fuentes in his speaking engagement, telling the Washington Post that he denounces white racism and that he attended the vote to reach a younger conservative voter base. Let's hope that Nick Fuentes really isn't representative of that younger conservative voting base. With all of this going on here, and basically the different members of Congress standing up one after another to make their pitch, we did hear before from Kevin McCarthy. And he concluded his remarks in defense of Gosar like this. This is clip two.
Future Congress will suffer for it. More importantly, the American people have needlessly suffered because of it. They won't soon forget it. It's about control. It's not about a standard that everybody lives by. It's a standard you enforce on one, but not upon yourself. You encourage your own side to engage further when you all took a vote to table. It'd be interesting to see if your leadership hasn't watched the video. How many of you who vote today have watched it? When it was requested, I contacted the member. He took the video down. He put a statement that he does not believe in violence to anyone. But you see, when others on the other side of the aisle incite violence, it's okay. Because it's words for the rules for these, but not for me.
Okay, he's talking about Maxine Waters compared to her treatment, compared to the treatment of Paul Gosar. And of course, they're both reprehensible. And is it really necessary for a resolution of censure to come forward here and to preoccupy our Congress when there are so many other things, including the border, that demand attention more? There was also, by the way, and this is worth pointing out, that it's also, by the way, the McCarthy himself had faced demands for resignation for the Republican leader. Why? Because this occurred in August, a couple of months ago. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy was, quote, feeling the heat over a comment he made about Speaker Pelosi. At a Saturday night banquet fundraising event in Tennessee, he expressed optimism that the GOP would recapture the House, in which everybody feels it is very likely the GOP will recapture the House unless they louse it up, and he would become the new Speaker. At the end of the speech, McCarthy was handed an oversized gavel, symbolizing the one he would wield if he got the job. And then he said, I'll make one promise here. When we win the majority, which I know we're going to do, you're all invited. I want you to watch Nancy Pelosi hand me that gavel. It'll be hard not to hit her with it, but I will bang it down. Okay. Probably not the most useful comment to make, but that's just clearly a joke. And Pelosi's spokesperson and deputy chief of staff condemned the comments, calling them irresponsible and disgusting, especially in the wake of the January 6th insurrection. Eric Swalwell, remember him? I mean, boy, that's a blast or gas from the past. Eric Swalwell called for McCarthy to resign over that. Now, look, what Gosar is doing here, the thing that's amazing is Gosar isn't even thinking about resigning or anything of the kind. Here is, in fact, what Gosar had to say concerning his own standing in this censure fight. Listen, clip five.
Last week, my staff posted a video depicting a policy battle regarding amnesty for tens of millions of illegal aliens. This is an enemy that speaks to young voters who are too often overlooked. Even Twitter, the left's mouthpiece, did not remove the cartoon, noting it was in the public's interest for it to remain. The cartoon directly contributes to the understanding and the discussion of the real-life battle resulting from this administration's open border policies. This body is considering passage of Mr. Biden's reckless socialist Marxist $4.9 trillion spending bill that provides $100 billion for amnesty to tens of millions of illegal aliens already in this country. This is what the left doesn't want the American people to know. Our country is suffering from the plague of illegal immigration. I don't stop pointing this out, nor will I. Millions of illegal aliens, drugs, and human traffickers are being let in and moved around our country in the dead of night, all condoned by this administration. For this cartoon, some in Congress suggest I should be punished. I have said decisively, there is no threat in the cartoon other than the threat to immigration poses to our country.
Paul Gosar, would it be worthwhile saying that I didn't intend to offend anybody, my staff didn't intend to offend anybody or threaten anybody? Wouldn't something like that just have been easier? Now he will go down as the 25th member in the history of the House to be censured. So what's so broken about our government? And what happened to infrastructure? It used to be boring. Why is it now a life and death violent issue? We'll get to that with Jill Lawrence of USA Today coming up. And on the Michael Medved Show, usually when people hear the phrase infrastructure, the term, or debate over infrastructure, or voting over infrastructure, isn't there kind of a tendency for your eyes to glaze over and people begin to get sleepy? There's a terrific headline in a piece by Jill Lawrence over at USA Today, and Jill Lawrence is an award-winning columnist. She's part of the editorial staff at USA Today, somebody that I work with on the board of contributors at that newspaper. Her column is titled, Infrastructure Was Once a Crashing Bore, Now It Symbolizes Our Sick, Violent Politics. And in case anybody doesn't really believe that our politics has turned somewhat violent, there's this debate going on right now over cartoon violence and the censure of Paul Gosar. Were you surprised to see that latest development, Jill?
Well, actually, you know, I have to say no. If you want, look at the last few years, and if you look at infrastructure of all things, people, Republicans getting death threats for voting for a bill that funds, you know, water systems and bridges and airports and railroads and highways. This really, literally, as you were saying, used to be the most boring subject in the world. Members of Congress used to say that TV cameras would just click right off when they even said the word. And now it's a reason to get you primaried, you get called traitors, you get death threats, you get all kinds of other threats. You know, this is the environment we're in. And if you'd like to ask me why, well, you know, I have a few ideas. I don't know whether your listeners would agree, but, when you have Paul Gosar out there putting cartoons up of himself killing a colleague, Alexandria, you know, this is just where we are these days, and it's a long way from the kinds of negotiations we used to have and the kinds of politics we used to have.
Kevin McCarthy said today in defense of Congressman Gosar, and let me tell you, if there's a competition for my least favorite members of Congress, Paul Gosar would definitely be there. And by the way, there is a great deal of talk, and not just among Democrats, that Paul Gosar may actually be implicated by that committee that's investigating January 6th in actually participating in some of the planning with some of the rioters, which would be a very serious matter, much more serious than this. But doesn't it seem to you that in the middle of this desperate effort to put together the reconciliation, budget-busting, Build Back Better bill, to put all that together, to move forward, to chalk up more victories for his side and for his agenda, that this is a not a very helpful and probably an unnecessary interruption? Wouldn't just basically an apology, some kind of acknowledgement from Congressman Gosar been enough rather than a full censure resolution?
Yes, I would say that this is something that the Speaker and the leading Democrats felt they had an obligation to do, because it's a precedent that you can't let stand. It's apparently the first time that this has ever happened in this way. He has not apologized to the Congresswoman. He has, you know, only apologized privately to his own Republican colleagues. So, you know, it's not like there's been a whole lot of remorse. He was also threatening President Biden in this anime cartoon. I can certainly see why they feel that they've got to nip this in the bud, and I think they would have been incredibly gratified if some Republicans would come over and join them in making this stand. I mean, before this, you know, we used to have, remember when Joe Wilson yelled, "You lie," to Obama in the middle of an address to a joint session of Congress? You know, that used to be considered an actionable offense, and in fact, you know, there was a resolution of disfavor passed against him or something, whatever they do in Congress to show that they disapprove. But, you know, it's really beyond the pale to have this kind of thing going on.
Kevin McCarthy brings up, and this is whataboutism, I don't think it is equivalent, but he brings up three different times where Maxine Waters, who's a committee chair, she's chairman of the banking committee, she spoke to rallies or to followers and urged them to get into the face and to confront people on the other side. And basically, it could easily have been taken as also promoting or favoring or encouraging violence. I don't think that Maxine Waters ever apologized for that. So just to make clear, this
tells a rally to get in the face of somebody they disagree with. That's different than trying to murder someone in a cartoon.
Well, also, murdering someone in a cartoon is not usually lethal. And by the way, President Biden does not get murdered. He just gets swords waved in his face. What's fascinating to me is this cartoon is very difficult to see right now. It's not posted or available anywhere, is it?
Well, he took it down after the outcry. But
he should never put it up. I mean, look, when we have this idea that members of Congress may not accept rules about bringing firearms onto the floor of the House, and rules about masking, that's also a pretty, and that has, you can't blame infrastructure on that, right?
No, I mean, I think it's just what all of these instances show is that, you know, people listen to words and turn them into actions. And so when the president, the ex-president of the United States, says we're going to go after these traitors, these rhinos, these people who are voting, you know, for infrastructure and giving Biden a win, we're going to primary them. Then another congresswoman calls them traitors. And suddenly Fred Upton of Michigan is getting death threats to his family, and the FBI is investigating, and he's getting death threats. Liz Cheney's getting death threats. People are spending tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars on protection that they never used to have to spend. It's a very threatening environment, and that's in most cases because the level of rhetoric is so high and so hot. So, I mean, you know, I see it all of a piece, and the complete absurdity of infrastructure turning into a lightning rod for this is just beyond my comprehension.
Well, I think you make a solid point in your piece in USA Today. We're posting it to our website. What should be done about it? I mean, we have just a few moments left, but what should be done by either party or by both or by the President of the United States? Where do we go from here?
Well, the president we have now doesn't talk like this and doesn't encourage this sort of thing. I think the former president could ratchet it down a bit, and his followers might also ratchet it down because he does have some pretty loyal followers and acolytes and people who, you know, listen to what he says and take their cues from it. So that's a big thing. And I think that would also help the Republicans in Congress to get to a less incendiary stage. And,
well,
you know,
given the fact that they're so heavily favored to win, the Republicans, and which would probably make Kevin McCarthy the next speaker, though there are rumblings that there are people on his right in the Freedom Caucus who may have other ideas. Who knows? It won't be Paul Gosar. I think that's safe to say. Jill Lawrence, her column is provocative, and it has this great headline. And one of the questions that she poses in her other work is, how do we bring back bipartisanship? She wrote a book actually celebrating congressional cooperation. We will get to that another time. Jill Lawrence, thanks for joining us.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
On the Michael Medved show, going back in history for just a moment, and by the way, that of course is something that you can do as a Medhead Plus member, going back to our history shows that we have some 80 different titles that are all free and available to you for 22 cents a day. That's what we're talking about. It is not a major investment, and you have free access to everything in the Medved History Store as a Medhead Plus member at reduced rate for the remainder of this year, I believe. But move now. Go to michaelmedved.com. Okay, I mentioned before they're approaching a vote on the censure resolution for Paul Gosar. And they also have procedure in the House of Representatives where you can expel a member. That's much more serious. I'm sure they would like to expel Congressman Gosar, the Democratic majority in the House. But they might not get the votes for that. And in any event, they didn't go for that. There have been six members of the House who have been expelled. And actually, that's five. And there have been 24 who have had censure resolutions against them. Now, most of those censure resolutions are for using unparliamentary language. And they're mostly representatives you haven't heard of. The most recent censure resolution was against Charlie Rangel, the longtime veteran Democratic member of the House from Harlem. And he was censured for improper solicitation of funds, making inaccurate financial disclosure statements, and failure to pay taxes. Then there were, immediately before that, there were one Republican and one Democratic member in 1983 who were censured for engaging in sexual conduct with a House page. So what are they going to say? They're going to say about posting a stupid joke video or allowing your staff to post a stupid joke video that will go along with and the idea of a House page. I mean, these are teenagers. They're students. And the fact that Gary Studs, the Democrat, and Daniel B. Crane of Illinois, the Republican, were censured for that kind of sexual conduct, it's a different thing. Also a different thing, we were talking with Jill Lawrence a moment ago about infrastructure. And Joe Biden is shockingly inarticulate when he is talking about infrastructure. She talks about how infrastructure is usually boring, but it's kind of not boring when Joe Biden is talking about it, and he's taking a whole adventure in his mind across a bridge in a snowstorm where there's a fire on the other side and you have to rescue people in the fire. And try to determine and decipher what the President of the United States is talking about. This is clip six.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross the bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm and there's a fire on the other side? I kind of get the idea that we need to have safe bridges and highways and a good way to get there. But is he saying we need to reinforce the bridge or do we need to build a new bridge? In any event, I'm sure it will get done. Meanwhile, leading up to the vote on censure, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was seizing the drama of the moment, because she is the other star of this. She is the victim, if there is one, primarily, because she actually, a figure with her face on it, actually gets knifed in the neck and is killed in the Paul Gosar video. Here she is speaking in favor of the resolution, trying to get him censured. Clip three.
And as leaders in this country, when we incite violence with depictions against our colleagues, that trickles down into violence in this country. And that is where we must draw the line, independent of party, identity, or belief. It is about a core recognition of human dignity and value and worth. So when we talk about, as mentioned in the resolution, that these depictions are part of a larger trend of misogyny and racial misogyny, racist misogyny, this has results in dampening the participation. And so this vote is not as complex as perhaps the Republican leader would like to make folks believe. It's pretty cut and dry. Does anyone in this chamber find this behavior acceptable? Would you allow depictions of violence against women, against colleagues? Would you allow that in your home? Do you think this should happen on a school board, in a city council, in a church? And if it's not acceptable there, why should it be accepted here?
Okay, the one thing she could have said is a point that has been made by other Democrats critical of Congressman Gosar before on this issue, is that if he were the head of a corporation, even a small corporation, and he actually posted or his staff posted for him and he didn't apologize a video showing an image that was meant to be him murdering a colleague, an image that's meant to be one of his colleagues. Do you think there's a chance that that guy or woman would be fired? I think it's a very, very big chance. And how do you fire a member of Congress? Well, you campaign against him. He's up for re-election a year from now. This is The Passionate Conclusion by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Listen.
Lastly, when the Republican leader rose to talk about how there are all of these double standards and lists a litany of all these different things, not once did he list an example of a member of Congress threatening the life of another. This is not about a double standard, and what is unprecedented and what is tragic, what is tragic is the descent of transgression in this body. I grew up as a little girl with awe about our nation's capital. The reverence and the importance and the gravity of our work here.
Additional 30 seconds.
Gentlemen, is recognized.
The gravity of our work here. So the question that I pose to this body in response is, will we live up to the promises that we make our children? That this is a place where we will defend one another regardless of belief. That our core human dignity matters. If you believe that this behavior is acceptable, go ahead. Vote no.
I think it's unlikely that a majority of the members will vote no. And look, is she handling this appropriately, or do you think she enjoys being the center of attention on this? I actually think she might. It is basically one of the whole questions about this is, given how badly the Biden administration has been doing on a whole range of issues, particularly that immigration issue that was emphasized by Congressman Gosar. Is this an attempt to change the subject? Well, we'll be getting back to that subject, the powerful column today by Jason Riley. And also, there is a fantastic analysis, I think the best one I've seen. And it's an analysis about why it is that the Democrats are losing so badly in all of the polls and in actual elections right now. What's wrong with the Democratic Party? It goes beyond personalities. It goes beyond any personal qualities. It goes to an identification of the Democrats as not normal Americans. Is that too harsh to say? We will get to that and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.